22 years ago, on Ash Wednesday, we are in Father Palmer room. Father Palmer used to like to give ashes too, and he would really put them on us, and especially us bald people. He said, boy, that's fun. Well, 22 years ago on Ash Wednesday was his last time he was in this church, because the next day he had a catheterization and he didn't make it through there. So that's 22 years now. We are in his room. Just a little story of history. But my name is Kaz Jwick, and Monday happened to be the feast of St. Casimir.
Yep.
Well, this guy here, he made it very special for me. He mentioned my name and the St. Casimir many times in his two masses he had. He had a doubleheader mass there Monday. But it's my extreme privilege and honor to introduce Father Jose. Here we go.
Well, good morning again. I'm sorry they have to put up with me twice, right?
There's worse things.
There are worse things, that's right. And actually, we're going to be talking about one of those worse things in just a minute. I know that we're running a little late, but my talk is not that long, because I knew ahead of time that Mass might be going a little late. Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Well, today's the day of fast, so we can wait a little. I'm doing you a favor.
There you go.
For your soul.
Yes.
So, the theme for my talk is death. To start at a good note, right? And I chose this seeing that it's very fitting to contemplate on death, because if there is something that we can all be sure of, is that it will come to us. That is the only thing that we can be certain of, that death will come to all of us, right? Sometimes we spend at times thinking about, what would I do if I were to win the lottery? Now, what would I do if I were to have that great car? Now, those things are not for certain. You might never win the lottery, right? If you do, please remember St. Jerome's in your will. But one thing that we can be for certain is that we will one day have to die and face the judgment of God. And today, as we had ashes put on our heads, we were reminded of that when we said, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Because that is something that we all have to go to, back to the dust from which God took us. Now, if you remember in the book of Genesis, before Adam and Eve sinned, God warned them that if they were to eat of the tree of which he had forbidden to, what would happen to them? Do you remember?
They would die.
They would die, right? So they knew ahead of time, and God warned them that if they disobeyed him, they would die. And the fathers of the church say that when Adam and Eve stopped thinking about the consequence of sin is when they went the wrong way and listened to the glamour of Satan, who promised them, you know, all this great thing. They would be like God. They would begin to know right from wrong. So when this glamour that Satan presented them with took away the thought of death from their minds, it was then that they fell into the greatest sin that brought death and destruction to all of humanity. So the fathers of the church say that when we ourselves stop contemplating on the reality of death, it is there that we can get in trouble. Why? Because when we stop thinking of the fact that one day we'll have to answer God for everything we've done, it is there that we get in trouble. Isn't it not? I mean, if your parents knew that you were going to break mom's favorite vase, would you do it? If they knew that you were going to do that? If your parents would have known that you were going to take $20 from mom's drawer, where she kept all her money, would you have done it? No, right? Because we would fear consequences that would come from that. So if we know and always keep before our eyes the fact that one day we will die and have to answer to God for everything we've done, that thought should keep us from doing anything that might risk us losing eternity with God. Now, for some of you that were raised in the Baltimore Catechism, none of you here were, right? You're so young. So there was one question that said that, why did God make you? Do you remember that?
To know.
Why did God make you?
To know, love, and serve Him in this world and be happy with Him.
Right, to know, love, and serve Him in this world and to be forever happy with Him in the next, right? And that is why God created us. And that is what we should always keep before our eyes, that God made us to know Him, to love Him, to serve Him. And those are the three things we ought to do if we wish to be forever happy with Him in the world to come. Now let me read to you several scripture passages that speak about us having to stand before the judgment seat of God and having to give an account of everything we do, just so you don't know that, just so you don't think that I'm making these things up, okay? This is God, this is the Word of God who is telling us, because unfortunately, believe it or not, there are Catholics, and unfortunately even worse, there are priests and bishops who deny the existence of hell, the existence of souls going to hell, and that is probably one of the worst things that we could possibly ever believe, because it could be a danger to our souls. When we stop believing in hell, we are closer to being grabbed by the evil one, because then we can do whatever we want in life, right? There is no hell. When we take advantage of God's mercy in a negative way, and we think that He is just, oh, God is so loving, which He is, but God is also all just, right? And at times, we also, as priests, do a dishonor when we canonize people at their funerals. You know, we're called to pray for those who have died and to have great hope that they have been saved and that they are within the arms of God. But as priests, we do not have the authority to canonize people. Have you ever heard canonizations at funerals? You know?
Yeah.
So we cannot canonize people. We have to have hope. For example, when I die, and if you're around when I die, please do not tell the priest to talk about how holy I was, how I'm going to be in heaven, playing with the angels, you know. Why? Because I want you to pray for my soul. I want you to not know, because you don't know where I am, that you pray for my soul, right? That you remember me in your prayers, because in case I need those prayers and people think that I'm already in heaven and nobody prays for me, I'm in a big trouble, right? So we have to remember that because we do not know where our loved ones are, that we must pray for them. We must offer masses for them. Because in case they do need our prayers, and we have just made it up our mind that they're okay. Imagine that. If that soul needed our prayers, and because of that we refuse them those prayers. You know, it's okay to have hope, and to have great hope in the mercy of God. Let us not forget to pray for our departed brothers and sisters who could desperately be needing our prayers. So, my dear people, I want to read you a couple of passages from Scripture, just again to help us in meditation and contemplation of this reality of death that will come to all of us. And I think that during these 40 days, you know, really try to meditate on that. That of that day and hour we do not know, right? As our Lord Himself tells them, that it will be like a thief, right? We don't know that time. He's speaking about the end of the world, but we can also apply this to our own death. Sometimes we can say, oh, I got many years to go, you know, especially when we were young. You know, we say, oh, I'll be in my bed, in the hospital. I'll have plenty of time to call a priest and have him come, hear my confession, give me the anointing of the sick. Is that guaranteed?
No.
Absolutely not, right? Absolutely not. It is not guaranteed that we will have that. It could be that today might be our last day for me or for you. Right? Many things can happen in one day and it could be our last. And that's why our Lord says that we are to live each day as if it were our last. Right? We cannot think about tomorrow because tomorrow has not come and it might never come. We can't think about yesterday because it's gone. There's nothing we can do to change it. All we have is today, right? So the only time we have to convert and to return to the Lord is now. Now is the only time that we have to turn our hearts completely to God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, we hear this. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to keep until the judgment, he will also not spare any sinner who does not convert. Imagine that. I know those are terrifying words. And, you know, there is this thing about that I heard throw around, you know, Catholic guilt. Have you heard that? It supposedly was instilled within the hearts of us, you know, by the sisters at school, you know, about this fear. But if you really look at it, they were doing us a favor. Because fear, if only by fear we do everything to avoid hell, it was worth it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because the true contrition should be that out of love for God, we do everything to avoid hell. Not out of fear for the punishments that come from sin, but out of pure love for God. But the reality is that you and I are weak, right? We are weak. And that's why we need at times fear to keep us from falling into hell. And if through fear we make it to heaven, praise be God, right? We made it. We made it, and that's a good thing. Now, of course, we should pray for the grace that we do not just do it out of fear, but that we truly do it out of love. That we truly, out of love for God and wanting to do nothing but please Him, that we avoid any sin, especially mortal sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 10, St. Paul enumerates sins, and he says that these who commit these sins will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, it's to reiterate the fact that there is such a thing as punishment due to sin. And he says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not enter the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Right? The devil deceives us at times. And at times he deceives us by telling us, oh, God is so love. God is too merciful. He will not send you to hell. Go ahead. Eat of the fruit. Right? That's what he said to Adam and Eve, right? You will not die. God knows that when you eat of that fruit, you will be like Him. Right? That's what the devil says. And we have to be smarter than the devil. That's why St. Ignatius says that we are to discern the spirits. Because the spirit of the evil one will at times enter our minds and try and twist things around and make them look so nice and good, just like that fruit to Adam and Eve. So he says, St. Paul says, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And then if we keep going on, he says, and many of you were that, but then you came to Christ, and your sins were forgiven. So part of the reality is that it doesn't matter what sin has entered our soul, if we come humbly before God, there is no sin that He will not forgive. Absolutely no sin, not one, except for one. Do you remember what sin that is?
Lord's name in vain.
No?
Blaspheming against the Holy Spirit.
Right, so the sin against the Holy Spirit, right? That's the only one that Jesus says it will not be forgiven. And the way that the fathers interpret that sin and why it's not forgiven is thinking that our sin is so big or so horrible that God will never forgive us, and so we never go to Him for forgiveness. So there's what some of the fathers interpret that saying, thinking that our sin or our life is so full of sin that God will never forgive us. Right? So that's the only sin that will not be forgiven. That's because we refuse to ask for forgiveness. But my dear people, the thing is that God, He is all merciful, and He does forgive all sin. There is not one sin when we come to Him with great humility that He will not forgive. But we cannot stay in our sin and expect forgiveness. For example, there is also at times this wrong idea that people are okay the way they are, even if it includes sinfulness. If you look at the Gospels, when sinners came to Christ, what did He say to them?
Go.
Be healed, your faith has saved you, go and sin no more. Right? He never left a sinner with its sin. And He never said, oh, you're okay the way you are. Oh, you're a prostitute? Oh, nice. It's good. Yes, I love you. That's good. You know? He never said that. In great humility, sinners came to Him. Once they realized and were convicted that there was something in them that was not in accordance with God's will, and in great love, Christ received them, healed them, and commanded them, go in peace, your faith has saved you, and sin no more. Right? So we all need conversion, and we cannot say that we are okay living our lives the way that they are if they are not in accordance with the will of God. Now, conversion is hard because we are stubborn people. Maybe not you, I am though. But, you know, once we get used to the way we do things, it's hard at times to break bad habits. And that's why we need God's grace. And that's why I tell people who come to confession every week, listen, if you need to come 7 times a week, you come 7 times a week, right? Because in the sacrament of confession, we don't just get our sins forgiven, but we receive grace to be able to break all those bad habits that we have created because of our sinfulness, right? To be able to break those chains that have enslaved us because of bad decisions that we have made throughout our life. You know, at times there's people who might say, well, I can never stop lying, Father. That's just me. Now, when we give up, then we're saying that God's grace is not enough. You know, God who said, let there be light, and there was light, like that's our Father, and He's the one that wants to share His life with us. I mean, there is nothing that can stand before us that we cannot defeat if we open ourselves to God. Right? There is no bad habit, no matter what that might be, that we cannot defeat if we open ourselves to the grace of God. Right? So don't ever let the devil try and trick you and convince you that you cannot be better, that you cannot be a saint, because only saints can enter heaven. And that is our calling, right? We're called to be saints. We're called to be perfect, Jesus says, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Imagine that. Now that is a high calling. We're called to be perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. But Christ never gives us such great commands without giving us everything we need to do exactly that. Be perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. But Satan will try and convince us that we will never be perfect. He will try and throw and accuse us and throw things at our faces. You're going to be perfect? Look at this. And then He'll begin to show us a movie of our life at times and all the wrong things we've done in the past. And then He'll begin to accuse us and begin to put doubts in our hearts that we can never change. But all that is a lie. And we have to be ready to be a lot smarter than Him to recognize when that lie comes our way. Because if we don't, we will fall into that temptation that, well, God just has to love me the way I am. And that's not the attitude that we are to have, right? So, my dear people, as we begin this 40 days of journey with Christ in the desert, let us remember the end that we cannot escape. Let us remember death. And let us do everything we can in our power to avoid eternal death, which is damnation. Let us do everything to avoid sin. And if there is sin in our lives, let us do everything we can to uproot it, to bring it to confession in humility, and ask for God's grace that we may be transformed and truly become perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Amen?
Amen.
Let's end with a Hail Mary for Our Lady.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour your blessing upon this food and upon the hands that have made it. We ask you, Lord, as we begin this day of fasting, may your Spirit be our strength, and may your healing hand always be upon us, that we may be able to be healed of our sinfulness and turn to you from all our hearts. And let us pray, bless us, O Lord,
and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Enjoy your meal.